Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 332, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, the day after April Fool's Day, wherein we all admit they got our ass. They did get our ass in some cases.
I went to 7-Eleven and I demanded they give me the hot dog flavored sparkling water, and they called the cops.
Yeah, that video is going viral. You really?
Well, yeah, probably should have kept my clothes on, but I was really upset.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will say also, April 2nd is National DIY Day for all of us that try to do it ourselves. National Ferret Day, National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. And also, I'm wondering if, because this is the day after fooling people and being very deceptive, it's also National Reconciliation Day.
Just being like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I got a lot of apologizing to do.
Oh, no.
And I've got a lot of forgiving to do.
Exactly.
You know, if you heard our trending episode yesterday, I wasn't kind about my kids' April Fool's pranks.
Yes.
I'll show you the sign, Miles. Key on me.
Wow.
Not nice.
Yeah.
So
it's written with gusto, too. I can tell. It's,
exclamation point. Yeah. All caps. Pee on me. It was it was after a kick me, so they built to it. It wasn't just like, you know, this guy is a piss pig.
Likes a little bit of soccer action.
Yeah.
Kick him around, too.
But yeah, so we made it through April Fool's Day and to Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. Peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah.
Together? Yeah, never heard of such a thing. Yeah. That's wild. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Kangaroo Jack O'Brien. Oh. Yes, I am also known as Kangaroo Jack O'Brien pretty frequently. I'm compared to that film because I often lure you in with the promise of a rapping kangaroo. And then it turns out it's just something that I dreamed.
Oh, that's not in the movie, huh?
It is. It's a dream sequence.
Oh, but it's not a rapping. It's not about a rapping kangaroo.
It's not about a rapping kangaroo.
Who's in that? Anthony Edwards?
Anthony Edwards and the kid who played the chubby kid from
Jerry O'Connell.
Or Stand By Me. Jerry O'Connell. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, Michael Shannon is also in it? Wow, early Michael Shannon. Wow.
The intensity. Buddy comedies. just bringing the early Michael Shannon intensity to Kangaroo Jack.
I don't find
Jack.
This rapping kangaroo to be very entertaining. Right. You're like, oh, gosh. No. Sorry, Michael Shannon. Let's move on.
That AKA courtesy of the frequent news ghost.
Ah.
Hey, makes sense that they're good at AKAs because their handle... An AKA of this show. Everybody's always saying, hey, have you checked out the frequent news? The Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes.
Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Ooh, I have unbreakable glasses. Oh, I dare you to try. I don't care that they just broke anyway. I don't care about that. Shout out to the Ray J's unbreakable sunglasses video where he's asking Speedy to break his sunglasses because they're unbreakable. When he breaks them, he said, I don't care. It's just the best sequence of events. Shout out to Max R on the Discord for memorializing that in one of my favorite Weezer songs. So appreciate
Amazing.
It.
Amazing. Well, we're thrilled, Miles, to be joined in our third seat by an affordable housing advocate who is working to help address modern day redlining by trying to overturn the Thurmond Amendment.
Yes.
Please welcome to the show, Yusuf Dahl.
Well, I appreciate that. I wish I had an AKA I could reference, but it's just Yusuf.
Yeah, it's just that's fine. Just sometimes Yusuf. Sometimes the name is enough, you know, it precedes you. You know? Like, oh, Yusuf coming. Yusuf coming.
Valley of the Dahl.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know about that one. Let's not do that.
Doll parts by hole. To bring it back to the 90s. Is that the one? Someday, we'll think. Is that doll parts?
I don't know, man.
Not a lot of Courtney Love Cobain fans in here, huh? Okay.
I was Cobain, but I think hole went a little too hard for me. Look, man, I'm still getting over this idea of peanut butter and jelly together. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. So you will ache like I ache. That's doll parts. Oh,
doll parts.
Thank you, 1994 brain. You're welcome. But Yusuf, where are you coming to us from?
Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of a seminal place in terms of housing when we're talking about housing, right?
I mean, certainly. I think it's the type of city that's emblematic of a lot of our cities across the country that really are a tale of two cities, right? There's places in this community that are vibrant and thriving, and there's a lot of other parts in the city that have, quite frankly, been left behind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Oh, man. I'm really looking forward to our discussion because, like, as we were saying before you came on, you know, like when we have these guests on to talk about a specific subject, I mean, just the Thurmond Amendment just opens the door to so many different conversations, whether it's about our carceral system, whether it's about housing, how we view housing and what even how America even does its threat assessments. And they typically just end up being just overtly racist. And this is no exception.
What is the attitude in Allentown toward the Billy Joel song?
One of ambivalence, because it's a good song, right? So I think it's kind of hard not to like the song, but I think the city has really done a tremendous job of reinventing itself. And so, you know, there's the sense that that song really doesn't represent the spirit and the future of Allentown today. So there's a level of ambivalence, but it's Billy Joel. So you can't really, you know, hate it too much.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, he said, opens up. Well, we're living here in Allentown. And, you know, I mean, those are the only lyrics that I know. So I was going to try and say something profound about it, but I can't remember any of the other parts. Something about a factory town.
There you go. Welcome to our podcast, Yusuf. It's called Trying to Remember What That Song About. Just
incisive commentary like... Well, we're living here in Allentown is a lyric in Allentown.
There it is.
All right, great. Well, we're going to talk about housing in a moment. But before we get into our expert guest's area of expertise, we do like to get to know you a little bit better by asking what's either something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or something that you have recently screen capped, short for screen captured. That is revealing about
screenshotted even
screenshotted. Yeah.
So my last screenshot was actually a list of Republicans on the Financial Services Committee. So directly related to this work on the Thurmond Amendment, as I'm sure we're going to get into, this is going to be a big month because we have legislation that's going to be introduced, but we're trying to make it bipartisan. And so I'm doing a lot of work trying to identify folks on the right who might be interested in this common sense reform to extend opportunity.
Mm. How's it going? How are you feeling about that? You see any names on there that you're like, they seem to exist
that's a
version of reality?
I tend to be an optimistic person. I always feel like the thing with legislation is the key is to actually get in front of these people. So for me, the challenge is how do you look at this list and how do you mine your network to get in the door? Because you believe that if you can just get in front of these people and explain what you're trying to do, common sense will prevail and you'll get through.
Right.
I guess with something with housing, how do you sort of tailor this argument to appeal to someone like Ron Johnson, who has dealt in all kinds of really backwards thinking out loud when it comes to things like the carceral system or race and things like that? Is he actually gonna be like, oh, that's messed up? Like people who've just had a drug charge can't get into housing? Like, yeah, I want to do that. Or how do you thread that needle? Because from my perspective, I'm like, what do you tell Ron Johnson to try and get him to see the light in terms of something like, this is common sense reform, like that there's no net negative here. This is like about just like making things a little bit more equitable. And he'll be like, what is that, woke? But yeah, I'm curious, what's the dance with something like that?
Well, so I think, first of all, you always have to contextualize this in the framework of opportunity, right? Because in theory, everybody wants to extend opportunity to people in this country.
In theory,
and
yes.
So it was really about legislation like the Thurman Amendment denies people who've been justice impacted the ability to be judged based on market measures and assessments of risk, right? So the market has a way of predicting or suggesting how reliable you're going to be as a creditor, right? So it's your credit score, it's your income history. There's a lot of different measures that objectively the market assigns to you to suggest your risk profile.
Right.
The Thurman Amendment nullifies all of that. And so the case that I made was, hey, give these folks access to the free market and the free market mechanisms of risk like everyone else. And right. I made the analogy that I can literally go to a bank right now and borrow $1 million. I can do that, but I could not secure a townhome apartment because of my 25-year-old drug distribution conviction.
Right.
That just didn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Wow. Well, right.
Does that translate in actual support? I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I mean, anyone
we
can
will
sit
see.
Anyone can sit across from you and say, yeah, that doesn't make sense. But what you really need are folks who are going to put some capital on the table and help you affect this change.
Yeah. Abstraction is the root of the problems that are happening, where it's like easier to just make somebody a concept, you know, that's like on your screen or like a number on a spreadsheet. And when you actually get in a room with a person and they have to deal with the fact that, you know, you're a human being, it at least for that time can make a big change. But then after the fact, it's a matter of like getting them not to go back to the comfortable thing of, you know, a system that seems to lend itself to just abstracting people and treating people as like values in a spreadsheet. So, yeah. Doing truly the difficult, important work. What is something that you think is underrated?
I would say, and primarily because I'm of a father of a 15-year-old, and I would say youth sports. So she plays a lot of sports, takes up a ton of my time, but it really just gives her a great outlet to develop confidence, learn the priorities of discipline. And so I meet young people all the time who aren't in organized sports for a variety of reasons. And I just think we should do more of that. Like when I was a kid, I mean, even though I wasn't in organized sports leagues, like we would always just go to the park and play pickup basketball or something like this. And now, I mean, God, if I didn't force her to play sports, she would be on her phone on TikTok or something, literally ungodly hours a day. So I'm a big believer in youth sports.
Yeah. Like how does, because I have very early experiences with youth sports, and it's hard to like maintain sanity and maintain your distance from it. Like, do you find yourself just swallowing your tongue while you're at, I think your daughter plays tennis?
Tennis and basketball. And I would say your kids are going to let you get away with voicing your opinion when they're 5 and 6 or 7. Right. Try that at our high school basketball game. You won't be back there. So right. I think you learn just as they get older what they're comfortable with. And at the end of the day, if they don't want to hear you, you know, yelling your feedback, you're going to have to find another way to give it.
That is so wild because like I can't remember half of my teammates from like some of the organized sports I played as a kid, but I remember the loudest parents that were not my friends. I'm like, damn, bro, Mr. Borna is going the fuck off again. Yeah. And you're like, yo, man, that's cool. Your dad's so intense. And they're just like, nah, bro, just like, don't even talk about this, man. That's all he does.
His look that he just gave, I swear, I see that every basketball game.
From your daughter in particular.
No. I've learned my lesson. She will, I have to be very deliberate in what I'm doing. But there are some other parents that, oh man, these guys, and it's typically the dad.
Yeah,
they're all in, and you're like, whoa, take it down a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
How do you deal with the screen side of it, like the other side? You know, it sounds like you're thinking of youth sports as like sort of one weapon on the side of good against, you know, the screens just taking over. Like I heard in talking to a parent this weekend, they were like, yeah, it kind of feels messed up that. Like one of the things that like you have as a parent is be like, no iPad then. If you're not going to do that, no iPad then. We're going to like basically we're going to take your drugs away.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. How you going to like, get right gonna, without your iPad? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But like how has that process been for you as a parent of?
Yeah. Especially a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Can't be.
Well, as the parent of any 15-year-old is going to tell you, it has to be something serious if you're going for the phone because you know all hell is going to break out. So it has to be level 10 where it's just like, okay, the phone, give me the phone and you're willing to stand on it. But honestly, I have to be very intentional because otherwise you're going to say, give me the phone and you're going to encounter a headache that you're just like, man, this wasn't worth it for me. Yeah. The damn phone.
You're like, here, take my phone too, actually. My bad. I wasn't expecting all this.
Exactly.
What's something you think is overrated?
Oh, by far the Stanley water bottles. That's just ridiculous. My daughter has a couple of them, which I refuse to buy any of them. But I'm sure it's a high quality water bottle, right? I'm familiar with the company. But there's a whole bunch of high quality water bottles that will keep your beverages cold or keep them warm, and they don't have that same price point. So I just think those things are terribly overrated.
Yeah, it feels like we're due for the backlash where some other brand like kind of pops up. We've talked about what's the OD one? The
Owalo?
Owalo. Yeah, that one's pretty good, but doesn't seem like it's quite
the straw built in.
Yeah,
it's just, but I mean, it just shows you again, like it was all because of the marketing genius at Stanley. Like they pressed, 100%. It's just all in, they just went full court press on influencers. That's going to completely inform the market of what's cool. And when someone's like, yo, I got this limited edition one, it's the Philippines exclusive colorway of a fucking cup. And people are like, I'll pay $500 for it on the secondary market. It becomes this other thing. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, maybe there's a company that comes in. It's like, we got the $2 cup. And
right.
That's what everyone should be buying. But then it's like, but it is made of lead. So we just be really clear on that.
Well, that's Stanley's $2. Made of lead, right?
Yeah, there's like lead in one of the parts of it. And that, and I know that that caused some people, especially in Los Angeles, to clutch their yoga blocks and be like, I can't.
Right.
Not with this anymore.
Stupid LA and their soft, hippy dippy ways. They're not happy drinking water out of lead cups.
There's just a lead in part of the cup. You don't interact with the part that has lead in it. Okay. That's the thing that many of the Stanley stands.
Plus, it'll help you if you're getting dental x-rays.
Yeah, true.
It makes sense. Like, we needed something that could appear with you in like a shot, you know, like when you're like in a, you know, shoes were the thing that was the most kind of captured by the influencer market for a long time. And then like, but you can't have your shoes in like a selfie with you unless you're really flexible. So like the Stanley water bottle, like answers that call.
Yeah. It's like a bag or something. You can have your whole outfit on, let them know, here's all my signifiers. And also I got the quencher. It's the 40 ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'm just intimidated by like things that are that cumbersome too. It's like, bro, I can't walk around with a gigantic cup all the time. Like in the house, I have like a normal cup I can just keep refilling, but something that big, I remember even when I was like at the height of like my water drinking, I like tapped out at like 30 ounces. Like anything above that is.
And we're glad we got you back from the edge on
thanks,
that water.
Man. Thanks, man. Yeah. Real touch and go. Real touch and go there.
Yeah. Those meetings are helping. But, yeah.
I had to keep going to the bathroom. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I have to go to the bathroom again.
Usually like, that's a sign of a different problem. But this time it was just this guy can't stop drinking water.
Well, there's a perfect segue into the Thurman Amendment.
Yeah. Is he beaming up in the bathroom? No, man. He's drinking 40 ounces of liquid at a time. We told him it's a danger to his kidneys, but he doesn't listen.
Yeah.
Too much water.
He found one doctor in quotes, who says that he needs 40 ounces of water between meals?
Yeah,
how
man.
How is that even possible?
Bro, my favorite doctor, Bradley from Sublime, 40 ounces of freedom. That's how I think.
That's what that song was actually about.
It's about drinking 40 ounces of water at a time.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we will get into it. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And so we've been talking about the Thurman Amendment. And so just to confirm off top, the Thurman we're talking about here is not beloved Yankees catcher Thurman Munson.
No.
It's not even Kill Bill star Uma Thurman.
No.
It is, in fact, a much worse Thurmond, Strom Thurmond?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Segregationist Strom Thurmond is who this amendment is named after.
Indeed.
Yeah, there's a really interesting, he just threw it out there in the 80s and kind of completely changed the course of our housing policies. Because right when this was happening, this was about making amendments to the Fair Housing Act,
yes,
where it's like, well, maybe we need to add a new category of protected class, disability. And then he's like, I got one. What if we strip it away from drug dealers? How about that, y'all? It's Strom Thurmond back at it again. I know I took a big L in 1964 by preventing the Civil Rights Act from happening, but I never let it go of that anger. And I'm trying to get it back in today.
In the 80s.
Yeah, I think it was 1988, was it?
Yeah, it was 88. And what's interesting about it is I was in contact with his archives at Clemson University. And so I said, hey, I'm working on this legislation. Can you send me anything you have about this particular amendment? And you would think, you know, there'd be communications or correspondence with trade associations or advocates or impacted people.
Yeah, cops.
Literally, there was nothing in the archives except one piece of paper, and it was his remarks that he delivered after the passage of the 1988 Fair Housing Amendments Act. And in his written remarks, he anticipated this amendment failing. It literally says, and while my amendment did not pass, blah, 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 he actually crossed that out and in handwritten, he hand wrote, I'm glad my amendment passed and blah, blah, blah. So he didn't, I don't even think he anticipated this passing.
Right.
Wow.
That is super. I had no idea that, because I know like,
it's like, oh, wow, we're racist in this country. Damn. All right, guys. Thank you.
Strom Thurmond is even like, yo, I don't even, I'm going to be real, man. I'm used to going out there saying
something. That going this way.
Yeah. I used to say something so flagrant. They're like, Strom, shut up. And then I'm like, okay. But then it passed. Let me play the clip, though. Just him at the lectern, basically saying, like, this is what I'm proposing, old Strom Thurmond.
One conviction is sufficient. My amendment simply says that one conviction is sufficient for a landlord to refuse to rent to a drug dealer. It's that simple. I urge my colleagues to vote for this amendment. Failure to do so makes the rights of law-abiding citizens meaningless. Drug dealers deserve no federal protection.
Oof. Wow.
And here we are.
That voice brought to you straight from the 1880s, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just everything about his voice and accent. I was like, is that being played on a phonograph from like a retired Civil War general?
I'm pretty sure the suit he's wearing, if there was a Pantone color for it, it would be Confederate gray. how on point it is. But Yusuf, can you kind of break down sort of the nuance here of like what exactly, I mean, we've sort of touched upon it and some people may know, but kind of explain the Thurmond Amendment for people.
Yeah. So essentially the Thurmond Amendment means that if you have a drug distribution conviction, and so that can be for marijuana, it can be for any illegal substance, you do not have fair housing protection. So a landlord can, or a seller for that matter, can look at your application or your offer to purchase, and if they find out, whether through a background check or a Google search, that you have a drug distribution conviction, again, doesn't matter how long ago it was, doesn't matter extenuating circumstances, they can immediately, summarily deny your application or refuse to sell you their property.
Right.
Right. And I know you said you're trying to see any background. This is just like so strange because this feels, obviously, this was in the era where, you know, the federal government was finding all kinds of ways to incarcerate, especially people of color during like the crack epidemic and these other various periods in the 80s. And this feels part and parcel to it. But I'm like, there was no like association of like concerned landlords or something that's like, Senator Thurmond, I'm telling you, man, these are just setting up and they're serving the community in a different way, not serving, but serving the community. And I can't have that in my apartment building or whatever. It just came out of his just brain.
Well, so and this is really the infuriating piece of this legislation for me is in the late 80s, there was literally a political strategy where Republicans would attach anti-drug legislation to completely, you know, non-relevant bills in the hopes of getting Democrats to vote against it. And then they would use that on the campaign trail. And so
like poison pilling it, right?
Yeah. So this was all just political bullshit, quite frankly. Right. I mean, and that's what's caused me to dedicate the last 3 years of my life to changing this legislation, because the fact that my family was denied access to housing, that my daughter was denied access to the school that she wanted to attend because of bullshit racist political games is just, it's something that I can't sit by and just let that impact other families and kids in this country.
Yeah. Can you talk about your kind of firsthand run-in with the Thurmond Amendment?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure we'll get into my background, but I've been a homeowner for many years, but I relocated to Allentown to lead an education organization. And so at the time, my daughter was a rising ninth grader. So we're looking at school districts. I mentioned she's a tennis player. So we wanted a school that both had good academics and a strong tennis program. We identified a community, found a townhome, and said, okay, we'll rent this. At no point did I even imagine that my application could be denied, right? Just because, I mean, I haven't had any justice involvement in 25 years. Hell, what I did at 18 tells you nothing about who I am as a middle-aged father. Like, it's just, it's not really relevant.
Yeah, they shouldn't rent anything to anyone based on who they were at 18. If that's a standard, then nobody can have anything. Yeah.
Well, especially if you're 40, you know, plus years old. So I get this call and the woman is like, you know, Mr. Dahl. I said, yeah. And she said, well, unfortunately, your application was denied. And I said, excuse me? Like, I was so upset, I had to set my Starbucks down. I'm like, what the WTF? You know, like, are you effing kidding me right now? Yeah. I said, this is Yusuf Dahl. You got the right Dahl.
Yeah, right. This ain't Roald Dahl. Yeah.
Yeah. And she says, you know, hey, look, I don't know what to tell you. It's been denied. We'll send you the letter. And they basically gave me a number from Boston to call about my denial in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And as you can imagine, you know, after wasting a half hour on the phone, I just gave up. I had to find somewhere else to live. And because I had not anticipated being denied access to that apartment, now we had to scramble, right? Because I'm committed to leading this organization. Right. And we ended up securing a housing unit in a school district that the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has designated as failing. And so the thought that this guy, who quite frankly, you know, we know he was racist, we know he was a segregationist, we know he exploited vulnerable people for his own personal political gain, the fact that this motherfucker to this day was limiting opportunities for children like my own, that it's still, just talking about it just stiffens my resolve to make sure this legislation is done once and for all.
Yeah. The question that occurred to me is like, why it seems specific that they're focusing on drug convictions. Like, there's not an equivalent amendment for other, like, more serious crimes, right? Like, there's not, Strom Thurmond didn't say murder or domestic abusers or, you know, which is something we know as Americans because of, you know, the epidemic of gun crime, like domestic abuse is a predictor of future violence, whereas drug distribution convictions don't have long-term predictive value as to whether renters would commit a violent crime in the future or be bad tenants. That's according to Noelle Porter, Director of Government Affairs for the National Housing Law Project. So,
she's a kick-ass woman, by the way. So yeah. Noelle is a rock star. So I just have to give her a shout out.
But it seems like the reason behind this is that they are like significantly racially biased, right? The arrests for drug distribution, like in Wisconsin, where you are from, Black people make up 6% of the population and 53% of drug convictions.
Yeah, the disparities are outrageous. And think about this. Do this mental exercise. You know, you're 18 years old, you get caught with an ounce of pot, you know, back in, you know, when I was 1997. Is that distribution or is that possession?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the amounts that were classified.
It's really, quite frankly, going to depend on how good is your lawyer. How well connected are you, right? Because it's truly this gray and fuzzy line. And so if you're poor, you're likely to have been charged with a distribution. crime.
Right.
If you have resources, that was likely reduced down to a simple possession charge. And that difference, right, that subjectivity is the difference between losing your fair housing protections for the rest of your natural life. It's right. just crazy.
Yeah. Right. I Whereas, mean, like with murder, they can't
permanently.
They can't go easy on white murderers.
Like, a murderer in this thought, couldn't a murderer be like, I'm taking you to court. You can't keep me out of this place because I'm a murderer. You know what I mean?
That's exact. Had my conviction been for murder,
right.
I could have sued that housing developer for refusing to rent to me and my family.
Right. Yeah, that you had, there was technically some kind of legal recourse, whereas this one's like, I'm sorry, it's not a protected category of person.
That's exactly
person.
It.
So you have no protections here under the law. So you may have to go to where they are willing to rent to people like you, which again, this brings back this whole idea of redlining and segregation. And like, you know, I meant, like, we're talking about Strom Thurmond, like this guy. He bet it all in 1964 to try and stop the civil rights. Like he filibustered. He really tried, and that precipitated his switching parties because of that, and because he was so dedicated to creating this overtly segregated America. But with these kinds of with this amendment, it feels like he won. You know what I mean? By framing this rule around drug dealers, which is coded language, just very obviously coded language. He found a somewhat nuanced way to keep the people out of the places he feels they shouldn't be to begin with. And we talk a lot about on this show about how, chattel slavery has always found a way to morph into these other oppressive systems. And there's always some form of control that can be exercised over oppressed groups, especially people of color in this country. And, with people getting kept out of affordable housing because of a prior charge, they've created a system that traps people, not necessarily physically, but in a way physically, because you're limited to where you can live. But by excluding them from the things that allow people to improve their situation, like building credit or these other things. Can you kind of talk to me about how how you get stuck, how this very specific form of redlining or segregation keeps people stuck? At that point, it's like, I'm sorry, but your chances of upward mobility are pretty much gone or very, very much diminished.
Well, community matters, right?
Right.
Context matters. We know that. And so, take an example of, you find an apartment, you've been living there, say, for 5 years. Well, if you've lived anywhere for the last 5 years, your rent has probably went from $1,200 to $2,000 over the last 5 years. I don't care where you live. So, if you're, and of course your income hasn't matched that increase. And so one way you would try to manage that is you'd move to a less expensive rental unit. Well, if where you can live is limited, oftentimes you're stuck. You don't have the option to try to find a different rental unit that would maybe cost less. And so that means, because you're paying this exorbitant rent, to your point, you can't maybe stay on top of some of your other bills, you can increase your credit score and ultimately put yourself in a position to purchase a property. Or in a case like mine, I had to send my daughter to a private school. So our family had to make sacrifices. I had to refrain from contributing to my retirement account and foot a god-awful expensive private school bill. But I had no choice, right?
Right.
And so, on so many levels, if you don't have the ability to choose where you live based on market values and measures of risk, but instead just someone's perceived risk of who you are because of a past conviction, you're just not going to be able to access the communities that are going to best help you thrive in a broader context.
Mm. Miles mentioned the ways that chattel slavery kind of morphs into different institutions in the modern world. And, we've specifically talked a lot about it morphing into, the carceral human caging system. I just want to, because, you're being targeted, in the recent past, you spent time in prison and got out and really rebuilt your life in a way that feels like, the odds were stacked against you so much. And that, I think having a better idea of what you were able to do helps just like kind of really drive home how this specific amendment is a total fuck you to people and just like completely wildly unjust. But can you talk about just like how you built yourself coming out of prison?
Yeah. I've been incredibly fortunate. Even when I was behind bars, actually, my journey to a better life started behind bars. I had this chance encounter with a guy who was in the Wisconsin prison system for defrauding the Kohler Corporation. And so you should never defraud anyone, but you sure the hell don't want to defraud a company that has a town named after it. So, you know, this guy, brilliant, you know, master's degree in engineering from the Northeast. So he's in the Wisconsin prison system with me, and he taught me how to program computers. And so when I came home, was very fortunate, you know, was able to work my way into some development roles in Fortune 500 companies. You know, I've worked on three continents. I've built software in India, in Africa. I had a fellowship from Google. I served as president of Wisconsin's largest trade association. I had a full scholarship to Princeton University for graduate school. You know, just really have been incredibly fortunate and have done so many things that tells you who I am today. All of those things I just noted tell you more about me today than my conviction from when I was 18 years old.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. And because your story is far from the norm, it's, you know, like quite an exceptional case. Like, that is not the norm for people reentering after being incarcerated. Like, and if it's that difficult for you,
that's exactly right.
Someone who can point to all these bona fides, like I've been educated in the Ivy League. I've been working like very consistent jobs. I've been successful. That the chances for anyone else who go back to reduced opportunity, lack of opportunity, and don't have that kind of upward mobility, then it truly just does become this thing like, well, now you're back in the neighborhood where you were doing dirt and your only options are to do dirt. And I think there's also like when we have these conversations, we're still not able to look at things like drug dealing as a form of like lack of financial recourse for people. Like, no one is dealing drugs because they're like, you know what? I always wanted to deal drugs. You know what I mean? Like, just something I wanted to do.
I had the offer from Google and also opportunity.
I was like, no, man, the block needs me. I wanted to be one of them boys. You know what I mean? Right. Not one of these Google people. But, you know, like that we don't actually... We never look at sort of things like survival crime too in a certain context and be able to extend empathy in those situations. Obviously, violent crime can be a completely different thing, but when you look at things like this, like most people, especially people who have dabbled in it, they have very similar stories of my back was to a wall. If I just moved this thing from point A to point B, or I let somebody stash something at my house, and then I somehow a bust happened and it completely ruined my life. That these people aren't coming at it from having some kind of like sociopathic desire to break the law.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And all of that nuance is missed, right? That's the most frustrating piece of this. And, you know, what keeps me motivated every day is because this has been a slog. I mean, changing federal legislation is a slog.
Right.
And what keeps me motivated is that there are literally tens of thousands of people right now in this country who were in my situation but didn't have an alternative option for their family.
Right.
You know, that's just wrong. And that's honestly what keeps me motivated every day to get this over the finish line.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should take one more break and we'll come back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And so, you know, this is one way that I feel like redlining is still kind of it's like a neo redlining that's still happening today. We've talked, like, there's been reporting in the past decades about, you know, real estate agents sort of being an informal barrier to, you know, Black families moving into certain parts of towns, engaging informally in discriminatory practices. But what have you seen? What are the other ways that you see kind of redlining still upheld, even though it's technically illegal?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have a buddy who's very supportive of this work that I'm doing, but he leads the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. And it's basically like the Trade Association for Black Realtors, and he leads the Milwaukee chapter. And, you know, I was talking to him about this work I'm doing, and he said, you know, I remember when I got out of prison, how, you know, I would have to pay extra fees if I wanted to rent an apartment solely because of a past conviction. And that was one way to kind of, it was a barrier for him because he'd have to put up like 2 times the security deposit, and he didn't have that type of money. So that particular apartment wouldn't be available to him. Or, you know, if he submitted an offer when he became a real estate investor, you know, he submitted an offer to a, you know, well-to-do area. And with everyone's information public and online, you know, he noticed several times he just did not get a response from the seller about his offer. And 2 weeks later, there's an accepted offer on the property. So, I mean, it's an unnecessary tool that lends itself to abuse, either by people who really have ill intentions or just people who are clueless and honestly are unwittingly perpetuating, you know, these very systemic disadvantages that we've been talking about.
What's kind of been the biggest hurdle in terms of, because I know, like, you know, I've worked in politics, and on the state level, there's things like ballot initiatives you can do to try and change laws and regulations and things like that. But like doing it on a federal level, what's been, I mean, aside from trying to do away with something that has been like the cause of so much pain for people, but is seen as a norm. What's kind of been like the hardest sort of the hardest part about the process in terms of trying to get people to understand like this isn't necessary and this is something actually we need to move past because it's causing so much damage?
Yeah, I think it's just getting visibility on this issue. And that's why I'm so appreciative of you guys for highlighting this issue on your platform. Because here's the reality. You'll never convince me that if the general public was aware that current housing policy in this country, at least part of it, is being directed by someone like Strom Thurmond, and these are the outcomes of this housing policy, that folks would just be like, yeah, that makes sense. Let's keep that in place, right?
We're good here.
Yeah. Exactly. No reason to reform that. And so it's really, this has been going on for almost 40 years because of who it impacts.
Right.
It impacts the most vulnerable people. And you said it yourself, my experience is an outlier. And so they just happen to, quite frankly, do it to the wrong person who's prepared to go all in on this shit and do whatever it takes to change this legislation. Mm-hmm. But if for the average person, who can invest this type of time and resources to do this stuff? And so it just becomes the status quo. And so the biggest challenge has been raising the visibility of this issue so that folks understand why they can care. Because I guarantee you, the folks who are listening to this right now, they're not going to be for it. And so I encourage them to reach out to me and figure out how can they support this effort to get their legislators to do something and repeal this useless amendment.
No, yeah, I think a lot of listeners are probably definitely sympathetic towards that.
No doubt.
And Yusuf, what would you say, you know, just to for something for people to keep in mind when they hear about, because I think like, you know, when people hear about someone who was in prison is going to move in, you know, right? We have this sort of like sort of inbuilt response that because like, sadly, even though we pretend our carceral system is about like rehabilitation or anything, it really isn't. It's just it's like a revolving door. What do you think? What are sort of the obstacles that you challenge people to sort of challenge their own thinking when when being confronted in a situation like this, or someone says, oh, I couldn't rent to this person, they were a drug dealer. And then they say, oh, well, good. That's good. Good. You stopped that from happening. What's sort of the shift that you feel people need to make in able to sort of look at the world with a bit of a more equitable lens in this context?
Well, someone who would say something like that, I don't know what the hell I would say to that person. but I would say that, look, this criminal legal system has grown exponentially. And so it's hard to find somebody who doesn't have some type of tangential connection to the system. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, as people have that connection, I think they develop the empathy. You'll never convince me you have to enforce the Thurmond Amendment to make money. That's bullshit. And I'll call it as it is because I know that's not true. And so, I mean, folks have to, just because you can do it, I mean, this is the problem. This is exactly what happens. You're a landlord. You go to your attorney and say, hey, look, I need to develop my screening criteria, and I don't want to run afoul of the Fair Housing Act, right? That this is what happens. Your attorney is going to do their job, and they're going to say, okay, you can legally do these things. You can deny all applications with a drug distribution conviction. Okay, boom, let's do that. And for all these other criminal classifications, this is what you need to do. Okay, fine, right? So as long as this is legal, this is going to be a problem. And that is why we have to repeal the Thurmond Amendment in the 118th Congress.
Mm. Yeah. Actually, that's the best place to leave it. Let's just leave it there.
Done.
Yeah. All right. Done. Well, thank you so much, Yusuf Dahl, for joining us and talking about your work. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff, and learn more about how to help you in your fight to overturn the Thurmond Amendment?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Yusuf Dahl, and I have a website, ThurmondAmendment.org. Again, ThurmondAmendment.org. You can connect with me on that platform as well.
And that's Thurmond Amendment, not like Uma Thurman or Thurman Munson. And Yusuf Dahl is YUSUFDAHL.
Yes, sir.
In case you're looking. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
work of media that I've been in.
It can be a tweet. It can be whatever.
Well, okay. I have to put it out there. So we just started binge watching 90 Day Fiancé. Yeah, the 90 days before, though, I think it's a different program. My daughter, days, yeah. I only watch this stuff because of my daughter. She's a total like trash reality TV person. Yeah. And so
I get those.
Anyways, that stuff is pretty hilarious. So I'm into that right now.
Amazing.
Perfect answer.
Miles, where can people find you and what is work media you've been enjoying?
You can find me at Miles of Gray, wherever they got the at symbol. You can also find Jack and I on our basketball podcast with the NBA called Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties. And also you can find me on my 90 Day Fiancé podcast, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra. Because you know what? Some of us like to play in the trash too. You know, some of us were of the trash and I love it with all my being. That's where you can find me in the pod space. Work in media, like this Korean reality show, Physical 100, is back with a new season on Netflix. And again, as someone who is always wowed by people who have that kind of discipline with their fitness, there's just no shortage of like just moments when I watch a show. I'm like, I'm just not going to do that. But I like to watch other people suffer and use their big muscular bodies and doing stuff. So anyway, yeah, that's what I'm watching, Physical 100.
Amazing. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying. Noah Garfinkel tweeted, "You have to eat so many vegetables or you will die." That's okay. Everyone likes potatoes. Oh, yeah. There is one that doesn't count, and it is potatoes. And then Troy Johnson on Twitter tweeted, "The black jelly bean is the best bean, made of corn syrup, Jägermeister, eyeshadow, and Cure songs. Flavor stays in your mouth until Jesus comes back. Supreme." You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Yes, a song. Yes, a song. This track, I just want to play a little bit of, you know, like some psych indie rock. This is Crumb, C-U-R-M-B, and their new track, Amama, A-M-A-M-A. You guessed it right. And I just like the, you know, it's just got, again, when I listen to like indie rock, the rhythm section's got to be on point. I got to like what the drummer's doing. I got to like what the bassist is doing. And I like what they're doing on this track. So this is Amama by Crumb.
Mama. All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.